We've all watched as coronavirus cases and deaths have steadily risen in the U.S., but there is another more hopeful number increasing as well, people who have recovered from the illness. That count is now at more than 43,000, and we've heard from a number of you who have beaten COVID-19, and it turns out that that experience comes with its own set of questions. Here to help answer them is Dr. Celine Gounder. She is a professor at New York University, where she's an epidemiologist and an infectious disease specialist. Dr. Gounder, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, great to be here.
And I want to start our conversation with a couple of listeners who've gotten in touch with us. Vicki is an ER nurse in Lakewood, Colorado. Hi, Vicki. And Sanayo is an inpatient physical therapist in Mountain View, California. Sanayo, hello.
Hi there.
Hi. And they both have recovered from COVID-19, and they're both with us, and we are so glad to hear from you. So thank you, and yay. Glad you're both feeling better. Before we get to your questions, can you just tell us a little bit about what your experience with the disease was like? Vicki, would you mind starting?
Oh, sure. So I started out with really bad body aches. Body aches, unlike anything I've experienced before, we've all had the flu. This was beyond that. Crazy ice-cold chills, shaking, shivering under 15 blankets, just crazy fatigue. I was in bed for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
As far as respiratory, I never really had a cough. I had a sore throat for 2 days. I had a runny nose. I did get the anosmia, the loss of sense of smell, which they're attributing. Some people will only get that, which is odd. I did have some GI symptoms, decreased appetite, which between that and the fatigue, I did get some weight loss and atrophy. My poor little calves looked like sticks.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds really terrible. Sanayo, how about you? How does that compare to your experience? Similar?
My experience was a bit more mild. I started out with a sore throat for a couple days, then no symptoms for a couple days. Then I had a fever and some chills and aches for about a day. And then again, several days with nothing. But then I got tested because I found out I had been exposed at work to a coworker who had also tested positive. And so combined with that, I was tested. And then after that, I had symptoms of congestion, dizziness, some shortness of breath, never really had a cough. And then I also completely lost my sense of smell.
Wow. Sanayo, and I understand that you're back at work as well. Vicki, you are too. But Sanayo, since what's it like being back at work?
It was a bit of a culture shock because my last day at work was sort of right when we started doing social distancing and, you know, the wearing of masks at work. So coming back, it's just very different. There are new protocols. We're getting our temperature checked every time we walk into the hospital. We're all supposed to be wearing masks at all times. Mm-hmm. We're talking about surge planning and bringing in other therapists who don't normally work in the hospital if needed.
Wow, that's interesting. Vicki, what about you? How does it feel to be back around patients in the ER?
Oh, you know, same for me as far as the new protocols, because my last day was a rockin' and rollin' normal ER day. And it's different now. You know, I'm so glad people are listening and staying home, but it's changed our volumes a little bit. And yes, taking temperatures. I have to admit that at first I was a little nervous to go back to work because I've seen a couple articles about people getting reinfected. I heard the word reactivated. And I did notice that I had a patient that I was like, this gal has to have COVID. She looks like COVID. She sounds like COVID. And I was protective. I was like, nobody else gets this patient. She's mine because I've had it and I have got to have some immunity to it.
Wow.
So I feel I kind of at first I was a little intrepid, but then now I'm like, yes, I'm here. I'm going to take care of these patients. You know, nobody else who hasn't had it, don't go in there.
Well, I'm glad to hear, and that's why you're a nurse. So thank you for that. So do you have a question for Dr. Gounder?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, Vicki, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. Sorry, I didn't want to talk over the other gal. you know, my main question was, okay, in all science, you know, we get the flu, we build up immunity, we have antibodies to it. The answer may be we don't know, but, you know, do I have immunity to this guy? Like I said, today I heard the word reactivated for the virus. I was like, oh, goodness. And then I've heard reinfection. And like I said, you may not know, but I would like to know what the latest update is as far as immunity.
Okay. Dr. Gounder.
Really, really good question. So I am here in New York City, and part of what we're struggling with is what does that mean, you know, that you've been exposed and you've been infected, and are you now immune? And we're not sure. So I'm a doctor, an infectious disease doctor, and an internist. I attend on the general medicine wards as well as on the infectious disease specialty consult services. So I see these patients myself all the time. And, you know, part of what we're trying to figure out is those of us who are working on these services, can we say, okay, you got sick, you're somebody who now is immune and you're lower risk, and you can be on the front line while some of us might be hanging back and doing less risky work? We actually can't say that because we don't know for sure. So to give you a couple examples, HIV. So if somebody has HIV antibodies, that's actually how we diagnose the fact that you have HIV. That doesn't mean that you're immune by any means. Another example is dengue. Dengue is a bit complicated too, because if you've had dengue in the past and you have antibodies, that may actually potentiate enhance worse disease with dengue when you're reinfected. And, a third example is herpes. So herpes, you can have the antibodies to herpes, and you have herpes for life, and that can reactivate over time, over your lifetime. So that could be you have chickenpox as a kid and you get shingles as an adult. It could be you get genital herpes and you have outbreaks over time. It could be you have cold sores on your lips that come back over and over as, you know, over time. So this is such a new virus that we frankly don't have the answers to that. And so on the one hand, I think it would be great to be able to say, okay, these are the people who have the antibodies. This is the basis for reopening the economy or for saying who can be a frontline worker. But that needs to be studied carefully and rigorously, because we could actually be putting people at risk in a really dangerous and unethical way if we don't have that information first.
Sana, if you have a question for Dr. Gounder, I'd love it if you could hang on for a minute. We need to take a very short break, but when we come back, we will come to you and you can toss your question in too. We would certainly love to hear it. And if you have a question for Dr. Celine Gounder, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or share it on social media using the hashtag #NPRConversation. As I said, we're going to take a very short break, and we hope you'll all stay with us, and we'll be right back.